Well, hey, man, the future does look good, doesn't it? I mean, the sun is starting to shine, and I don't know what it's like at your house, but at my house, my daughter just decided that, grass is pretty great. She had never really walked in the grass before. She's 18 months old. She's kind of figuring the whole thing out. And she decided that the backyard is like her favorite place in the world. And so in my house, the future is looking good because I just get to sit in the backyard, watch my daughter run around. And so I don't know what it looks like for you, but the future is looking pretty good. And some of you, I know maybe you're joining us, you're sitting on a sunny beach, or those of you here in the venue, it's sunny out. I mean, it's getting warmer. I mean, things really are starting to look good. And so if you're new today, maybe this first time you're joining us, or maybe first time you're joining us in a long time, this is a great time to be here. We're kicking off a brand new series called Build Different. And Mark kind of shared a little bit what this series is going to be about. And what we're realizing is that over the past year, it's shown us that we really weren't prepared for the level of disruption, for the level of uncertainty as maybe we thought that we were. And while we didn't choose the pandemic, like Mark said, we can choose how we exit it. And we can choose in how we respond and how we begin to move forward. And that's what this series is going to be all about. And we're looking really at some strategies and some really practical tools to help us move forward, to give us a new perspective, to help us learn more as we start to get out of this pandemic mindset. And so here's something I bet we all have in common. I'm ready for this to be over. Can you, anybody agree here? Anybody agree? Joining us online, I mean, hit that like button. Man, I'm ready for this to be over. I'm ready to just like get rid of these masks and like just be done with this, right? I'm sure you're feeling it too. But in light of what we've experienced and in light of what we've learned, it'd probably be a shame for us to just go back to the normal. And here's what we're going to talk about for the next few weeks. You see, reflection, it reveals truth to us. And so we're going to ask these questions and we're going to look back on this past year and we're going to ask these questions like, where did I do well? What cracks did this pandemic, what cracks did it reveal in my life? So just pause for a moment. Joining us at home, just pause for a moment. Sitting here in the venue, take a second. What are the things that you've learned and what do you want to carry forward? Now here's something that I've learned. Now, I'm not a big movie guy. I'm not a big, like, apocalyptic movie. They kind of scare me, to be honest. Like, I left I Am Legend when I was in high school because it scared me to death. Like, these are not my favorite movies. But what I've learned is they all got it wrong. I mean, every single apocalyptic movie, man, the writers have no idea what they're talking about, because when a pandemic strikes, when the world comes to an end, people don't run to oil. People don't run to go grab water. No, they grab all the toilet paper from the shelves. You guys remember this? Do you remember this? I mean, I remember walking into the store thinking, like, when are we ever going to buy toilet paper again? Like, we're going to have to ask our neighbors. We're going to have to call my parents. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. Do you guys remember this? Like, it was terrifying. And it was like May, June, July, and you still, it's like, I don't know if there's going to be toilet. I don't know if it's ever going to show up again. We might just be out of luck. Like, that's the thing that I've learned, is that they all got it wrong, to be honest. And so the question that we're going to ask for the next few weeks is, how can we take what we've learned and carry it into the future? Or the title of this series, how can we build different as a result of what we've all just experienced? How can we be better for it? How can we be better for it? Because pain without any gain, well, that's a shame, guys. Pain without any gain is a shame. It's wasted. It's absolutely wasted. Now, I realize that, I want to realize something before we go any further. I want to be really clear about this. I don't know what you've been through in the last year. I don't know what your life has looked like in the last year. I don't know what situations you've had to walk through. I don't know the things, the intimate details of the last year of your life. But here's what I do know. If we don't pay attention, we won't benefit from it. And our tendency will be to just kind of rush back to what we know, to rush back to all the things that we just understand that feel natural and normal, and we'll miss the lessons that we could have learned in this season. And before we go any further, I also want to recognize that there's a chasm for those of us in this last year. I mean, there's an absolute chasm. There's those that honestly did quite well over the last year. I mean, personally, relationally, business. I mean, things went really well. And then there are some that it was just terrible. I mean, life was hard. Things were bad. Things at home were bad. Things at work were bad. Maybe they lost a job, lost a family member, lost a parent. I mean, life sucked. I mean, heck, I saw some really difficult things this week that I think highlights this perfectly. According to the American Psychological Association, 6 in 10 adults last year, 6 in 10 adults, they gained an undesired amount of weight. And check this out. Watching at home, check this out. You're here in the venue, check this out. In my age category, 25 to 42, the average amount of undesired weight gain in the last year is 41 pounds. Can you just pause and think about that for a moment? Like 41 pounds? I didn't gain 41 pounds, but I'll be honest. Like the quarantine 15 is a real thing, I'm sure. Maybe you experienced this yourself. I mean, life was not as easy as we hoped it would be last year. We were stressed out. We were anxious. And we ate another carton of Bluebell ice cream at my house. I don't know what it is at your house, but or how about this one? How about this one? Target, their sales last year grew $15 billion. That was more than the last 11 years combined. A decade of growth, they beat it in 1 year. And I'll be honest, I mean, we were part of that for sure. I don't know if you were, but we definitely had some Target pickups in our house, and we definitely stopped in there. I mean, we were a part of that. We had to do some projects, right? Because you were stuck in your house, and you had to buy more decor, and you needed a new picture. I mean, all the things, right? I mean, some people had a good year. They had a good year. But for a lot of us, it was a tough year. It was maybe way worse than you could have ever imagined. I mean, we've seen this all play out in our own personal lives and the lives of people around us. And as we dig further into this series, Build Different, I want to make you aware of a really cool resource that we're going to be kind of walking through. It's going to be available to you. If you're watching online, there'll be a button right there on the side of the stream that you can buy this book. Joining us here in the venue, there's going to be a table right outside in the commons when you leave. You can grab one of these books. It's from our friend, Dr. Tim Elmore. It's called The Pandemic Population. The Pandemic Population. It's an incredible book. I'm about partway through this book, and there's highlights, there's insights, there's perspectives gained, and it's an incredible, incredible resource. One, can't highly recommend it enough. I mean, it's a great book. Go ahead and grab one on your way out. It's $10. There's a QR code right inside. You can just pay when you get to your car. Watching us online, go ahead and grab one of those books. It's going to be so helpful over these next several weeks. So in the mid-1990s, there were these psychologists, Richard Tashi and Lawrence Calhoun, and they developed this concept called post-traumatic growth. I wrote a book about it, post-traumatic growth. And the basic idea is that some people, that they seem to grow as a result of trauma. They come out on the other side of a painful experience, of something that was difficult, that they had to walk through, not just okay, but they came out better. They came out stronger. They came out with deeper levels of relationship. And as Tadashi puts it, he says this. He says, people, they develop new understandings of the world they live in, how to relate to other people, the kind of future they might have, and a better understanding of how to live. And they went on to create this post-traumatic growth inventory, and they actually give 5 different areas that they highlight as the key areas where people see growth. And they're these right here. First one, appreciation of life. When you walk through a traumatic experience, when you walk through a global pandemic, right, you're able to look back and appreciate life a little bit more. You're able to remember those walks in the middle of the afternoon in April with your 5-month-old daughter. I mean, that you'll never, never get back, right? Second one, relationship with others. I mean, we've all experienced this in the last year, right? Our friendships, maybe we've grown closer. Maybe we've grown far apart, but we've seen this in the past year. Relationship with others is one of those huge categories where we can grow or where we can begin to lose ground. Third one is new possibilities in life. You see new opportunities. I mean, businesses are springing up. New ideas are happening right now out of this global pandemic. Fourth one is personal strength. You're reminded of how strong you really can be when your back is against the wall. And the very last one is spiritual change. We're going to be talking about that all throughout this series. So in a time of pain and suffering, all 5 of these areas, they are rife with potential for growth. They're full of opportunity. They're full of new perspectives and understandings and ways that we can learn and move forward. And COVID-19 and the chaos that's come with it, it literally has the potential to make us or break us, right? I mean, we've seen this over and over the last year. And much of it, whether we grow or whether we don't, has to do with our response and our relationships. And so here's my question for you. How do we not just survive? How do we not just, okay, we're just going to just tough it out and get through this, and then when it's over, it's in the rearview mirror, I'm never thinking about it again. But how do we come out on the other side with a new appreciation for life, relationships with others, new possibilities, a new inner strength, and maybe a spiritual formation of the image of Jesus in a way that we've never experienced before? And here's what I think we all see way too often when we face a threat. Maybe you do this. I know I do this at times. When we're faced with a threat, and our back is against the wall, we're able to muster up the courage in the moment to do whatever it takes to get through it. But as soon as it's over, we forget about it. We forget what that strength felt like. We forget that we were able and that we were capable of doing it. And we walk right past it as if the threat was never there. And because of this, it makes me think, like, what is wrong with us? Why do we have to be led to the brink of disaster in order to be willing to make the changes that we've known all along we should have been making? And here's what I want us to avoid. And this is what we're going to talk about for this series. Because in order for us to gain through all of this pain, we have to be intentional about it. Otherwise, we're just going to drift back to normal. The normal where we never have to learn from the things that we're walking through. And you've heard this, right? I mean, don't let a good thing go to waste, right? I mean, we've all heard that. But I think the same is true on the other side. Don't let a bad thing go to waste. In fact, in this situation, I think it would be worse to allow a bad thing to go to waste. And again, I don't know your circumstances. I don't know what you've walked through. I don't know the situations you've been a part of in the last year. But I do know that it's a good time to begin to take an inventory and ask this question. What have I been doing that almost led to my undoing? Or maybe on the flip side of this, what should I begin to do right now? And so today, to get this discussion kicked off, I want to talk about three really specific areas. And honestly, the first two, they might hit a little close to home. Yeah, I might talk about these first two, and you might think, Chris, you are meddling here. You're going too far. You're not supposed to be talking about those things. And honestly, I think I am, so I'm going to. But the first two, you might feel like they're a little insensitive, but hang in there with me. You see, while the pressure is on, I think it's the time when we can learn the most. And this is the time where we can gain more perspective than maybe we've ever had before. And it would be a shame to lose that opportunity and to lose those lessons, to lose that perspective and those learnings. And so we're going to dive right in. We're going to jump in with this very first question. How can you build different financially? How can you build different financially? How can you be personally better for it because you've walked through COVID-19? What have you been doing that almost led to your undoing financially? Or perhaps, what actually caught up with you in a way that you never thought it would? What do you wish that you've been doing financially that would have set you up to be in a better place, but you look back now and recognize, I should have been doing that all along? You see, whatever comes to mind, You all have an answer to this question. So here's my challenge. Just begin now. Now's the time to face up to two financial realities. The first one is this. I want is better than I owe. In other words, it's better to go without things that you don't need than to owe money on things that you don't need, right? It's better to go without things that you don't need than to owe money on things that you don't need. It's better to go without things. I mean, there are so many things that you could spend your money, so many things, but it's better to go without than to owe money on it. The second one, financial reality, that it looms large right now. And it serves as a reminder that perhaps you can set yourself up to build different. It's this, that a financial hole is always due in part to a lack of self-control. Let me illustrate it just this way. Before this crisis, maybe you thought, if only I had more money. If only I made more money. And then COVID-19 happened. And then you started to think, if only I had saved more money. If only I had said no to that thing. If only I had just paused and exercised more self-control, I wouldn't be here in this financial hole. And if you were facing the consequences of a lack of self-control financially, now's the time to write it down and learn from it for the next time and to never do it again. The writer of Proverbs, he actually talks about this a little bit, and he uses this word picture that, honestly, it doesn't make a lot of sense to us. I mean, because you don't live inside of a walled city, do you? I mean, Fishers doesn't have walls surrounding it. I don't know where you, maybe you're watching here online. Maybe you're sitting in Heidelberg, Germany. I went to Heidelberg, Germany when I was in college. Incredible, beautiful, walled city. I mean, it's so cool, but we don't get it because there are no walls surrounding our cities. But he uses this term, and it's completely out of our concept. But it makes complete sense to the ancient people that are reading this, that are understanding this. And check out what he says. He says, a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. Again, meaningless for us. But in ancient times, the walls around a city, they represented security and peace and prosperity. They represented safety. And here's what the writer of Proverbs is saying. That a city, when the walls are broken down, when they're broken into and then just completely destroyed, the people, they lose their security. They lose their safety. They lose their autonomy. They lose the ability to make decisions for themselves, to control their own lives. And let me ask you this. What do you want more than anything in life? And honestly, what I think it is it boils down to you want control. I want control. It's true for me. I think it's true for all of us. And the key of having control of your life is to exercise self-control. And consequently, because of what we've just walked through of this last year, maybe you might be learning this lesson the hard way when it comes to your finances. And I want you to build different. I want you to be better for it. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, I understand that this requires extraordinary self-control. Like, I get it. But you can decide right now to do it differently. To build different. And maybe you've heard it 1,000 times, you know, save more, spend less, get out and stay out of debt. I don't know if you've ever heard that. If you've never heard that before, man, write that down. Write that down. Save more, spend less, get out and stay out of debt. Take responsibility for finances and exercise self-control. Take notes, make a plan, decide right now to build different. All right, next one, number two. How can you build different relationally? How can you build different relationally? What have you experienced in the past few months, in the last year relationally that you want to carry forward into the future? I mean, what are the experiences? What are the interactions? What are the things that you've done relationally that you're like, man, that was incredible, and I don't want to forget about it. I want to keep doing it on and on into the future. And I think one of the things that we've all experienced, it's the value of good friends, isn't it? It's the value of friendships and people that are walking alongside you, even in the hard times. But there also maybe is a negative side of this for you. And if so, I want you to pay attention to it. Maybe you've noticed, or maybe you've experienced some unaddressed cracks in your relationships. Some cracks in your relationships that honestly, during normal life, you can just kind of push to the edges. You can just push to the periphery, and you know they're there, and you think, I'll just get to them when I get to them. You know, eventually we'll talk about that thing. Eventually I'll have that hard conversation with my son, with my daughter, with my boss, whoever it might be. But then COVID happened, and you were thrown into your house with your family in a way that you've never, ever been before. You were quarantining together, and it's hard to hide in quarantine, isn't it? I mean, the house is only so big. There's only so many places you can go. And I'm saying that having been in quarantine with my in-laws, my wife, and my four-month-old daughter, okay? I get it. I understand. I've lived it. Listen, I know there's only so many places you can go. But maybe you've noticed some unaddressed cracks in your marriage. Some things that you've just been able to push to the side, push to the periphery, and oh, you'll get to it. Or maybe a lack of common ground with your kids. Maybe just one of your kids. Maybe you recognize, man, I've never really had a great relationship with that one child of mine. We've never really connected. And then you were thrust into your house together with nowhere to go. And you realize that your lack of time at home, all those moments when you just would stay a little bit later, you decide to go out after work, or maybe you couldn't make it to that game, or whatever it might be, they'd caught up with you. And you spent so much time with your family, and you recognize, man, I've never really actually developed a relationship with this child. And isn't it true that quarantine, I mean, it highlighted the good, and it really highlighted the not so good relationally. And so here's the opportunity. COVID, it might actually serve as a wake-up call to you relationally. If there are cracks in your relationships, this is the time. This is the moment to begin to move forward, to make the changes necessary, to address the cracks. And if you just rush back to normal, it's just simply going to empower you to continue to ignore those cracks. You know this, relationship problems, they don't fix themselves. And so now is the time to address these relationship issues. Right now, right now, you've got extra time. This is the moment to make that phone call, to have that hard conversation, to sit down across the table, put the phones away, and just look into each other's eyes and have the hard conversation you need to have. Because rushing back to normal, it'll only allow whatever's hard to just get worse. You see, relationally speaking, all of this pain with no gain, it would be a shame, wouldn't it? Last one, number three. How can you build different personally? How can you build different personally? And let me say, when I say personally, I mean internally. Like how, let me ask you this way. How is your worldview holding up? Has the last year brought about some questions? Has your foundations been rocked a little bit? And if your foundation, if your worldview has been rocked, then you should pay attention to it. Do you find yourself asking questions that you never thought you would ask? Maybe you're not a particularly religious person and you found yourself praying for the first time in a long time. Maybe you went and found that Bible that was in that closet that your grandmother gave you a long time ago just to realize, like mine is, it's in French because she's from Canada. I don't know. I don't know about you. Whatever it might be. Did you discover that maybe your faith was a little more fragile than you thought it was? Did you find yourself asking questions, or maybe asking questions that you've never asked before? Questions like, where is God? How could a good God do this? Where is he in the midst of this? What I thought God was. And here's my point. If this season, if this last year has rocked your faith, your relationships, pay attention to it. I want you to pay attention to that tension, because you may be on the verge of learning something new, or you may be on the verge of being reminded of something old. And if you're a Jesus follower, I want you to pay attention to that tension really closely, because you may discover a different kind of faith. You may discover, a better faith. You may discover a different version of faith than you've ever seen, or maybe the version that you've been handed, because you might actually finally give up your faith in the non-existent God who doesn't allow bad things to happen to good people. You might finally give up your faith in the non-existent God who doesn't allow bad things to happen to good people. Because in this season, maybe in this last year, you've come face to face with a God who allowed the worst possible thing to happen to the best possible person, his son Jesus. And he did that on your behalf. So the point is, it's simply this, that we're going to get through this. This isn't the end. I mean, we're gonna move past this. The world is gonna get back to a new normal. I know we used to hear that a million times, and now I don't know if people say that anymore, but we're gonna get back to normal. We're gonna get through this. But let's make sure that we're better for it, that we've built our lives differently, financially, relationally, personally, that we have built different. Because you know this, all this pain without any gain, it would be a shame. And yeah, I said that for the third time because I want you to remember it. All of this pain without any sort of gain, man, that's a mistake. So let's decide that it begins today. And to help you to do that, I want to make a suggestion to you. Now, some of you are going to like this. Some of you are going to hate this. And, you know, that's cool. That's easy. That's good for you. But because here's the thing. It's easy for us to forget, isn't it? It's easy for us to get, to walk through something that was difficult and to move past it and think, all right, well, I don't ever have to think about that again. We're past that, so I'm moving forward. And so I want to give you a thought, an idea, something to make this a little bit more tangible. I want you to actually create a reminder, to find a physical object or perhaps make a craft or something physical that maybe it's something you already own. And I want you to attach it to the memory of this past year. Something that's going to remind you of this season and the things that you want to carry forward from it. And I want you to take this object, whatever it might be, maybe it's a face mask you don't use anymore, I don't know, whatever it might be, I want you to take this object and I want you to put it somewhere prominent in your life so you'll be reminded of it. Maybe it's just simply going to be a reminder to you to slow down, to say yes to that afternoon walk that you do have time for, to say yes to that cup of coffee with a friend that you've been pushing off, to say yes to making that phone call that you know you should be have already made. Maybe it'll just be a reminder of the value of friendships that you've neglected in the past. Maybe it'll be a reminder that you dug in, that you addressed the cracks in your relationships at home. Maybe it's just simply a reminder of something else that you've learned in the last year. Because what I want us all to do is to begin to write a better story as we move forward. Because eventually, COVID, this last year of our lives, it'll be a story that we'll tell. Many years ago, there's this social psychologist, his name was James Penbaker. He conducted this large-scale study on victims of trauma. And he had a set idea of what he expected was going to happen from these victims of trauma, these people that had walked through horrible things. I mean, loss of a loved one, loss of a child, you know, coming back from war, whatever these incredible moments of trauma might be. And he had a set idea of what they would look like post their traumatic experience. And what he saw was that there are some people that actually come through it and they're more joyful on the other side. That their life is fuller on the other side. Maybe they're more at ease than they ever had been before the traumatic experience. And it turned out that the number one factor in their recovery was whether or not they had a family member, an encouraging, supportive group of people, whether or not they had someone that they could speak with individually or in a group setting to talk about the things that they've walked through. That they had a group of supportive people in their corner. This is why we recommend small groups. This is why we're starting another Starting Point small group, to walk through this together. It's why we encourage your kids to jump into CSM. I mean, community, it breeds hope. It brings encouragement. It sheds light on things that we've kept in the dark. It's the reason why I have coffee every single Tuesday with my best friend Logan. We've been doing it for 5 years because community breeds hope. And so this week, I've got just three questions for you. I want you to dive into these three questions. I want you to spend some time thinking about these and really maybe even write these down. Take a moment to just process these three questions. And so let's stand, and we're going to read these three together. The band is going to wrap this up here in just a minute. And the very first question is this. Very first question is this. How can I begin to build differently? What was it for you? Was it financially, relationally, personally? Was it something in your job? What was it? What did you walk through in the last year that you realized, I can begin to do this differently? I can begin to do this better. I can build different. Second one is what's going to help me remember? What's that thing that you're going to maybe hang on your wall, or you're going to put in your bath and put it on the mirror, write it on a sticky note? What's that thing that's going to help you remember that you've grown in the past year? That's going to help you walk forward with the new perspectives that you've gained in the last year. And the last one is this. Who will I welcome into this mess? Who's that person? Who's that group of people? That small group, that supportive coworker, or whoever it might be. Who will I welcome into this mess? Now, normal or even the new normal, it's right around the corner. And I can't wait for us to get there. And I think that we're all looking forward to it, right? We'll get there soon enough. But let's not miss this unprecedented opportunity, maybe this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to learn as much as we can, to gather up new perspectives, to push forward, to have hard conversations, to be intentional with our relationships, and to grow. Let's not just settle for getting through this, but let's decide to build different. Would you pray with me? God, I know that this last year has been incredibly, incredibly challenging for so many of us, God. And I know that we've all felt you walking with us in it. And God, I pray for anyone who's within the sound of my voice, God, that they would lean into you. That they would ask the hard questions, that they would find somebody to process things with, that they would sit down and have intentional conversations. God, would you fill us all with the strength to do it? To not just say we'll do it, but to actually do it. To actually decide that we really can build different, God. God, I'm so grateful for your presence in this last year, and the way that you've walked with us, and the way that you've encouraged and directed us. God, I pray that for every single one of us, that we would feel it again and anew. It's in all in your Son, Jesus' name.